Introduction. July 22nd, 2020 would have been my dad's 105th birthday. The next day was opening day of the baseball season, delayed nearly 4 months by a global pandemic. Never before had these two annual milestones been so close together on the calendar. July 23rd marked the end of a streak he and I began more than 50 years earlier. On a cold, rainy April afternoon in 1970, he pulled me out of school early to attend the first game of the season for Ted Williams' Washington Senators. For the next 49 years, I managed to find a way to attend a team's first home game of every baseball season. The streak traveled from D.C. to Baltimore to Chicago, back to Baltimore, and ultimately home to Washington. Three cities, six stadiums, five home teams, 50 opening days. For 19 of those 50 games, Cal Ripken Jr. was in the lineup. I saw Cal and more than 40 other future Hall of Fame players, managers, and coaches on opening day. You'll read about some of them in the pages that follow. Ripken's streak of 2,632 consecutive games played will never be broken. Mine ended after five decades. I did not set out to someday write a book about Major League Baseball home openers. Heck, this streak was barely a thing for the first 20 seasons or so. It was blind luck that it held together during those early years as college, kids, and life happened. Oh yes, and my home team left town when I was only 11 years old. But somehow, year after year, we found a way to celebrate the greatest day of the sports year, every year, somewhere, with someone. Like the Energizer Bunny in that old battery commercial, I just kept going and going and going. At first, it was because of my dad. Then it was having fun with college friends. Then it was for work. At that point, it had become a ritual which, like a fine wine, improved with age. In 2005, when baseball finally returned to my hometown 35 years into the streak, my fan passion kicked into overdrive, and the sharing of a lifetime of stories became a personal joy. I didn't take notes or keep a diary, only memories. In 2020, the baseball season started without me, without anybody. After a three-month shutdown of virtually everything in our lives, professional sports returned without fans in attendance. COVID-19 had stopped what 50 years of life events could not. The coronavirus pandemic kept me from attending an opening day game. With millions getting sick and dying around the world, baseball seemed trivial. And yet, I hoped one day we could emerge from the darkness to embrace a new normal that would include a full house on opening day. What makes opening day so special? Answers vary. Opening day is the best day in baseball, proclaimed SI.com's Robin Lundberg in March 2019, just before the last home opener of my streak. Opening day is better than the World Series. It's like your good buddy is coming back. He's going to be there. Some of them are less reliable than other good buddies, but it's something you know is going to be there for you from this point forward through the fall. You know what else it means? The return of warm weather. This good buddy wasn't there for any of us in 2020. In 2021, he was there for only a few, the vaccinated, masked, and socially distant. Ken Rosenthal has become one of the best-known baseball reporters in America, writing for The Athletic and appearing regularly on Fox and elsewhere. In 1998, he was writing for the Baltimore Sun. He summed up opening day masterfully. Opening day is fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, and grandparents telling you about their very first opener. It is a day to break out your old glove, to remember the first game you ever attended, to remember the game that broke your heart. Opening day is the dawning of spring, the renewal of life, the beginning of time, whatever. Opening day is a ball game. Play ball. Tom Boswell, the legendary baseball writer who retired in 2021 after more than 50 years at the Washington Post, published a collection of his baseball columns in the 1984 classic Why Time Begins on Opening Day. The book title is spot on. In cities and towns all across America, opening day is more than an annual baseball game. It's a rite of spring as winter fades away, hope and optimism abound, and all teams are tied for first place. This book's time began on opening day 2015. I took my grandson Johnny and realized he represented the fourth generation to participate at least once in this annual ritual, from my dad to my son's son. I rather whimsically decided to make a list. I'm not sure if I made the list for him or for me. The massive spreadsheet began to take shape. Dates, box scores, weather conditions, you name it. Thanks to the treasure trove of data at baseballreference.com, every relevant baseball detail of every home opener fell into place. For a while, it was little more than a tracker, a well-organized collection of game day details any baseball junkie would appreciate. But questions emerged that weren't in the box scores. Every few weeks, something would cross my mind, some factual recollection that would lead to another column in that Excel workbook. What president threw out the ceremonial first pitch? Which labor disputes delayed opening day? What future Hall of Famers were there? Were there any specific memories of that day? Who else was there? Was there anything significant in baseball history linked to any game or its participants that was worth researching? It became obvious this streak had the potential to be a book, not just a baseball book, but a collection of stories that others might enjoy about historic moments, icons, family, traditions, people, and relationships. Specific memories came pouring back. In addition to baseballalmanac.com and saber.org, newspaper archives and other online resources added rich details when the memory failed. This book represents 50% memories, 50% research, and 100% stories. As the chapters fell into place, certain threads and themes emerged. The first half of the streak spanned the years of disruptive labor unrest between players and owners from 1970 to 95, including three opening days delayed by strikes or lockouts, 1972, 1990, and 1995, a season interrupted, 1981, and another cut short, 1994. Some of those openers also afford the opportunity to share the remarkable stories of pivotal people who stirred the pot and paved the road to modern-day free agency. Curt Flood, opening day center fielder for the 1971 Washington Senators. Dave McNally, 1973, opening day starting pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. Reggie Jackson, an opening day holdout for the Orioles in 1976. And Judge Sonia Sotomayor, who some say saved baseball with her ruling in March 1995. The 1981 midseason strike allowed for more details about the last great stadium organist in professional sports, Nancy Faust in Chicago, who entertained us during the re-opener at Comiskey Park. I saw five different U.S. presidents, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, throw out the season's ceremonial first pitch a total of nine times among them, and I witnessed the christening of two new ballparks, Oriole Park at Camden Yards and Nationals Park. I was there for fan favorite Harry Carey's last opener at Comiskey Park in 1981, his first one at Wrigley Field in 1982, and the sudden passing of another Hall of Fame broadcaster, Harry Callis, on opening day at Nationals Park in 2009. Opening day 1984 in Baltimore highlighted one of the more conflicted and historic weeks in local sports history as the same fan base mourned the loss of one professional franchise and celebrated the championship of another. Just 4 days after the Indianapolis-bound Colts snuck out of town in the middle of the night, the Orioles hoisted their 1983 World Series banner in the same stadium they had shared with their NFL housemates for nearly 30 years. That same week, a new local cable TV channel, Home Team Sports, for which I worked at the time, launched to only a handful of viewers. But this fledgling venture, now known as NBC Sports Washington, was at the bleeding edge of change for sports television. Home games on local TV. In 2005, Washington welcomed baseball back to RFK Stadium in the form of the Washington Nationals, previously the Montreal Expos. 3 years later, the city rejoiced as Mr. Walkoff, Ryan Zimmerman, electrified a national TV audience on opening night with a home run in the ninth inning to beat the Braves in the first game at Nationals Park. Quite often, my most precious memories of opening day was of the people with whom I shared it. Dad, kids, grandkids, best friends, and well-known figures we encountered at the ballpark. Memories of certain years are clearer than others. From 1984 to 2004, I usually attended opening day for work-related reasons, while life on the home front intensified. My selfless and generous wife, Kate, gave birth to our first three children between 1984 and 88, and we adopted three more between 1994 and 98. Life, in general, was a blur, and memories of specific opening day games are as well. Online research helped fill in the gaps. Some years might read like diary entries, while others might read like college history papers. If something spanned many years, like Cal Ripken's career, Baltimore's love affair with John Denver's Thank God I'm a Country Boy, or the steroids era, I concentrated the story into a single chapter, 1993, 94, and 2003, respectively. If a chapter sparks in you a, I never knew that, or I remember that moment for you and leaves you hungry for more, Google it. Surely there's a book, blog post, YouTube video, article, or something else that will feed you. We'll help get you started with a companion website that links to box scores and more, www.openingday5050.com. In August 2020, while players played an abbreviated 60-game schedule in front of empty seats, cardboard cutouts, and recorded crowd noise, I decided the time had come to start writing. I had just turned 60, the memory was still intact, and the streak had ended on a nice, tidy number, 50 games. Although the definition of my team had changed over the years, the streak had ended a year earlier with my team on top for the first time ever. With strains of Baby Shark doo-doo-doo-doo-doo ringing throughout the nation's capital, and after an improbable string of historic comebacks, the Washington Nationals won the 2019 World Series. A funny thing happened as these stories unfolded, year by year, chapter by chapter. I realized this was not just a collection of baseball stories, but also my story. The journey of a little boy whose favorite thing in the world was taken away. It left such a void. I would spend the next 33 years looking to fill it. I was pretty good at it, but it wasn't quite the same. After I was made whole in 2005, losing seasons followed for the Nationals. Then came winning seasons, followed by postseason disappointments. Throughout all the comings and goings, frustrations and celebrations, losses and wins, sadness and joy, anger and forgiveness, the only constant was the one reliable annual highlight. Opening day. For box scores, play-by-play, and more, visit openingday5050.com.